catch. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 7, the 7th verse. The centurion said, "Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's rather an incredible event that once upon a time God marveled at a human being. Just try to picture that God, who created the heavens and the earth, said, "Wow, this man who is made of dust, who is a mere sinner, is now by his faith amazing to me." Jesus marveled at the faith of the Roman centurion, an officer in the Roman army who had authority over 100 soldiers, and in some cases, an advanced centurion could be over an entire cohort or a legion of 800 soldiers. We don't know exactly how powerful he was, but he was, make no mistake, a man of power. We don't know all the details, but we know what we have here in God's Word, that this man knew about how power worked. He described that in verse 8. "I say to one of my soldiers, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." That was the kind of power and authority that the centurion knew. But we cannot lose sight of the spectacular contrast within this centurion that was actually going on within his soul. Some might conjecture that this centurion was a proud man, full of himself, full of his power. What do we say about power? You know, power corrupts, right? This, however, was not the case with this Roman centurion. He knew power and authority, all right, but it had not gone to his head. And in this case, we have evidence that the Holy Spirit had already come to him and done a miraculous work in his heart. He had allowed that centurion to hear about Jesus, the one who had come to save sinners, the one who had come to bring eternal life to those who believe. And this centurion, in hearing about Christ, came to know saving faith in his heart. And as a result, he knew a different kind of power. Not the authority of men, but the power of God through faith. This is not an incidental incident recorded in the Gospel of Luke, by the way. Luke certainly had an agenda. He records the truth about Jesus and the truth of Jesus, but in such a way that there is absolutely no doubt after reading the Gospel of St. Luke that Jesus' mission was for all people. This was God's agenda. Jesus came for Jews, certainly, but he also came for outsiders and outcasts. And he came, in the case of the centurion, an officer who represented a nation that was based on paganism, a nation that used the human symbol of the centurion to represent the Roman symbols in the face of Yahweh, the one true God. A man whose very vocation represented that the Romans had just taken all the Greek gods and renamed them for their own purposes. They were a nation of idols. They were a nation of unbelief. And yet here we have the centurion, the example of faith. Jesus' own testimony that he marveled over the faith of one such as this was certainly a powerful breakthrough for the Christian church that would later go out into the Gentile world. This reality is one of the reasons that I love living here in Southern California with all of you. Some don't speak very fondly of us Californians. We live in a state in which businesses have left us left and right. Thousands of businesses over the last few years. We have a very high cost of living. There's traffic and crowds and earthquakes. But the world, my brothers and sisters, has been gathered here in Southern California. We live in a place where the diversity of Gentiles like yourself and myself represent an astounding opportunity for the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ to reach people from literally all nations. I was attending my daughter Christina's college graduation just recently, and name after name representing how indeed the nations have been gathered in this place. This is a great place to be. Thank God we're here. I wouldn't have it any other way. But we learn from Jesus that no one is to be excluded from the mission to share the gospel. We learn from Jesus that he excludes nobody from the love of God. But we also learn from this centurion, this Roman Gentile centurion, big time. This man of power and authority completely switched gears when it came to Jesus. He did not exert any imagined status or right. Instead, he humbled himself. And in so doing, he confessed the one, the only one, with true power and authority over all. This is spoken of by Ephraim the Syrian, who put it this way, as if speaking for the centurion. I am not capable of receiving the sun of righteousness in its entirety. A little radiance from it is sufficient for me to remove sickness as it does for the darkness. Unquote. The centurion was in effect saying, I am so low and I am so powerless, I cannot even come to you in person, so I sent a contingent of Jewish elders. And then when you got close to my home, I still couldn't come out, so I sent friends, because I am not worthy of you to come under my roof. And what is more, I am so low that I could not even speak to you with my own lips. But none of this matters. I don't even matter. All that matters is, Lord Jesus, you are here. I am nothing, but you are everything. You are Savior. You are Lord. And yes, I know how power and authority works. Just say the word, Lord Jesus, and whatever you command, whatever you say, will happen. This I know, because you have all power and authority, and nothing is too hard for you. This scripture is not a recipe for our becoming enthusiasts who, if we can only get our humility meter just right, then God will do whatever we ask him to do. We do not treat prayer like magic or an app. You get whatever you conjure or whatever you download. Put in the right payment, the right humility or the right intensity of faith or whatever, then God will come through for whatever you want, just like he did here. No. Much to the contrary, this centurion knew that all that mattered was the word and command of the one with authority, who also has all wisdom, all compassion, all mercy, and all love. So whatever he says, it's what I need. Whatever he commands is what will bless. If he says yes, then it is yes. If he says no, then it is no. But what really matters is that the centurion knew that Jesus' word was good, and that somehow it would bring a blessing. Let this be clear. The centurion, in all humility and faith, was utterly convinced that by the power of Jesus' word, his servant was going to receive a blessing. He knew the reality. Jesus has all power, but also all compassion. Jesus has all authority, but also all love. And what was key was his word. And through the word, there would be healing. This the centurion knew. It wasn't about himself. And because he knew it so well, Jesus marveled over this centurion. The principle of the word that brings healing and blessing has not changed, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The word of Jesus is powerful. It heals all of the time. It heals when you hear the absolution proclaimed to you, and all of your sins are washed away as far as the east is from the west. It worked also at the time when I prayed over my parishioner going into surgery, Psalm 17, about hiding in the shadow of the Lord's wings. All of a sudden, she was utterly calm, even though she was on the verge of an anxiety attack. And then she went into surgery, and the doctors who worked over her later were amazed at how their concern about her losing too much blood was completely eradicated during the surgery. It was something they said afterwards that they could not explain, that they, the two surgeons, had never seen before. Jesus' word had blessed this parishioner. On another occasion, Jesus' word was given to a very sick parishioner that I was serving with the word. And he was not physically healed, but he received an unexpected peace and a radiance of faith that he had never experienced in his entire life, knowing that the Lord of glory was holding him, even as he was preparing to die. He did die, but Jesus' powerful word did not fail him. He died with the powerful word of Christ leading him to glory. He too knew the healing of God's word. As you all know, we've been praying regularly for Pastor Geisler, and there is something which Pastor Geisler has always taught me. You know how when people see that something good, they perceive something good has happened, when they see that, they go, God is good, God is great, right? Well, Pastor Geisler has reminded me many times to be careful to teach that just because we perceive circumstances to be good or great, that does not suddenly make God finally good or great. God is always good. God is always great, regardless of how we perceive the circumstances. This is one way of understanding the centurion's true faith. Jesus had arrived. He was now in a win-win situation, as long as he had the word. And remember, Christians, the devil's constant strategy against you is that you would be cut off from the word of Christ. If he can keep you from the word, then he keeps you from all of God's other blessings. It's as simple as that. But the centurion knew that with the word, he would be blessed. That was a fact. There is someone else who gets this. And as I speak of God's good creation now, I do not speak of anything he has accomplished within himself. I simply profess what is true about what God has done through his word in his life. That someone is our Pastor Mueller. He has been a stalwart example of Christ alone. And when it comes to the most challenging questions on doctrine and practice, it's always about, what does Jesus' word say? I'll never forget many years ago picking his brain about how to approach a certain doctrinal issue and getting into the many elaborate systematic approaches that some people use, and he simply led me back to, what does the word say? For 25 years, the Lord's servant, Stephen P. Mueller, has been his faithful servant. He has been weak and lowly, like the centurion, but he has also been full of faith to welcome the Lord into his life by grace. And with a living faith given to him, he has seen the Lord bless him through his faithful wife, Nina, and as he has raised with her three great sons. And as he has served in holy ministry as pastor and teacher, professor, author, administrator, and leader, the Lord has blessed my friend and my colleague with many talents, and we have already seen a tremendous return that these talents have yielded. Today, we celebrate with him his 25th anniversary of holy ordination, but in such a way so as to give thanks to God and to rely upon the word of Christ to bless Pastor Mueller to do even more in the kingdom of God in the years to come. This is something we're supposed to do in the church, and we will employ a rite from our Lutheran service book agenda immediately following this sermon as we give thanks to God for Pastor Mueller. On a personal note, I celebrate him as well. He has always been a mentor brother to me. We are colleagues and side by side in ministry. But he is my big brother. But he is my big brother in Christ. He soothes me. He encourages me. His example always teaches me. And over the years, he has been with me when I was overwhelmed with struggles and discouragement. He's been there. He was there for me in college when I had second thoughts about going on to seminary to become a pastor. He was there for me in seminary when Tracy and I couldn't even afford to buy a Christmas tree, so he brought one to us. And he's been there for me during my pastorate over the years when I faced great challenges in the ministry and in my personal life. He's always been a true servant of God to me. Many know him through his scholarship that has led to outstanding works which equipped the church, through his leadership that has assembled one of the best theological faculties in the world, and or through his teaching that has, in fact, transformed lives. I've met students who have told me they came to know the gospel of Christ through him. But I also know him as the one who introduced me to rabbit stew. And also to the reminder that we cannot take ourselves too seriously, a lesson that I'm still working on, and his example that does not go unnoticed. This is the example, people of God, and it's one that we all benefit from. Amen. Don't get too elated over what we perceive as great. And don't get too downcast by what we perceive as bad. Why should we? We have the Lord who speaks his word to us. And his word always blesses. Through the forgiveness of sins. Through the gift of eternal life. Through the one who shed his blood to cover our sins. Through the one who defeated death. This word, dear Christian, has blessed you. Through it, you are absolved of your sins. Through it, not even death can stop your life. You too, like the centurion's servant, have been healed. So let's keep saying with the centurion, but say the word Lord, and your servant will be healed. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, with gratitude and joy we give thanks this day for Pastor Mueller, who 25 years ago was ordained and consecrated to the office of the Holy Ministry in the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We thank God that he established this office in his church, through which are imparted not bodily, but eternal things and gifts, namely eternal righteousness, the Holy Spirit, and eternal life. We praise the Lord that he has permitted his servant to serve his church these many years, that he has sustained and supported him and blessed his ministry among us. Hear the word of the Lord from Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Let us now pray together the psalm beginning on page 15, continuing on to page 16. We pray together. I will extol you, my God and King,
and bless your name forever and ever. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Let your steadfast love comfort me, according to your promise to your servant. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you promised to send your servants the Holy Spirit to give them power from on high. We give thanks that through your word you also called Reverend Dr. Mueller as your servant and entrusted him with the office of the Holy Ministry. We praise your mercy and faithfulness and ask that you continue to keep him in good health and firm faith. Grant that he may continue to be a blessing to your people, that they may be a blessing to him. Open everywhere the hearts of the faithful, that your word may be received, and that laborers in your harvest may not be lacking. Cause your church to grow up into him who is the head, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Go in peace and joy, dear brother. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and bless you and strengthen you for faithful service in his name. Amen. We rise for prayer.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, dying, and all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are married and who celebrate your blessings, especially today we give thanks for 20 years of marriage to David and Mary Lloyd. We ask that you continue to bless them, strengthen them in love, give them your joy, and grant that others may see you reflected in their love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who mourn, that they may be comforted. Particularly, we remember Caleb Cargis and his family as they mourn the loss of his grandfather. We thank you for the life of faith that you gave to his grandfather and for the eternal life that he now enjoys in your presence. Comfort their family as they grieve and assure them of a blessed reunion for all who are in Christ Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we live in a nation of freedom. We thank you for those who served in our nation's armed forces and laid down their lives to protect freedom and uphold justice. Let us be mindful of the gifts that we have received and give thanks for all that they have done. And we pray, O Lord, Prince of Peace, that you would put an end to wars and rebellions. Give us days of peace and quietness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all of our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
You may be seated. As we gather our offerings, we ask that you fill out one of the worship cards in front of you, taking a moment to prepare for Holy Communion. Here our Lord Jesus comes to us to give us his very body and blood in this sacrament, in with and under the bread and wine. All who commune share the faith of this congregation, have been baptized, and see Jesus here present. If you don't share this confession or still learning about the sacrament, do please come forward. Simply fold your arms as we come by so we can give you a blessing, and know that we'd be happy to speak further with you about this sacrament. God be with you as you prepare.